Well, thanks, Tom, and my welcome to you this morning as well. My name's Tim, and it's my privilege again to be able to engage with you and to engage with the Bible today. I hope that you are reading the Bible regularly. It's incredible what new things God brings through the presence of His Spirit as you read each day and undertake the discipline of reading. I wonder what you miss about the good old days. I guess there's lots of things, but when I say the good old days, I mean the beginning of March 2020, the pre-COVID era, as it will probably be known now. Everybody's talking about unprecedented times at the moment, and I long for precedented times, don't you? When things might have a semblance of normality. And in this 6 months, I'm sure that you've been through many different emotions and many feelings. Perhaps feelings of tension or unease or fear or anger or disappointment or discontent. All sorts of different feelings. And a lot of those I've just mentioned are, of course, pretty negative ones. Because life doesn't seem to be working at the moment, does it? And perhaps for you, as for me, it's fairly draining of energy and emotions. And we know, of course, that there's challenges with mental health issues and loneliness and relationships as well. But the one thing I want us to continue to hold on to is that God is still at work. Is that spiritual optimism? Well, it's maybe, but it doesn't deny the reality of what is happening. It isn't blind faith. I think it's confident belief that God is still at work. But maybe you've lost your passion. Maybe you've lost the intimacy with the relationship with God. Maybe, dare I say, you may have lost your faith as well. And I understand those emotions that we've been going through over this period of time. Now, when Paul writes this letter to the church in Ephesus, he wants to encourage them, to build them up. He wants them to refocus. He wants to help them restore their enthusiasm for God. I love the word enthusiasm, not only because it sounds great, but it comes from this entheos, in God. The heart of enthusiasm is your relationship with God. And that leads to passion. In Ephesians 4:4, and we're in this series called One, looking at Ephesians 4 verses 1 to 6, and we're at Ephesians 4:4. And Paul gives us three reminders to help us restore our passion, to help us find our enthusiasm again, to help us reconnect to the living God. And I want to share those three things with you in a moment. But first, if you've got your Bibles, you might want to just turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I encourage you to grab your Bible. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. This is Paul pouring out his heart from prison to this church in Ephesus that he has so much connection for. He says this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen." Well, I can just imagine Paul sitting in prison, writing this down, and without a breath, without a punctuation mark, just pouring out his heart and soul to this letter to send to Ephesus to say, come on, guys, let's get this passion back. Let's infuse you again to the things of God. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul talks about three things that can do just that. He talks about one body, one spirit, and one hope. And that's what I want to talk about today. So if you want to keep your enthusiasm, your passion burning, firstly, stay connected to the one body. Now in Ephesians, Paul talks about the body a lot. And in the reading in Ephesians chapter 1, once again, he talks about the body. In verses 15 and 16, he says he's never stopped giving thanks for the people who are part of the church in Ephesus, the body. And he recognized that the church was more than just a human institution. The head of the church, in verses 22, 23, he says, is Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul there says that he reveals the answer to the mystery of God's plan, where everyone can be connected to one body. And this body is life-giving. And to keep life flowing, to keep passion, to keep enthusiasm, you need to stay connected to this body, this one body. We must never take it for granted. This body that is full of all sorts of different people, where the head is Christ. There was a time, Paul says, when it seemed that people were excluded from the body. But Paul writes in Ephesians 3, 8 to 9, that his task given to him by Jesus was to make plain to everyone, you're included. You are welcome. You can be connected to this body, to Jesus. Now, when we get that translation that says make plain, this is the Greek word for tizo. And it means literally to switch the light on, to illuminate, to enlighten. And when a light goes on, then even when I'm feeling dark, even when I think I'm just walking through darkness and cannot see clearly what is around me, when the light comes on, everything is illuminated. When I'm feeling alone and the light comes on, I remember that I'm connected to the body of Christ, the one body. When I turn the light on, it helps me to realize that there are other people around me who are for me, who are cheering me on, who are praying for me. I never stop giving thanks for you, Paul said. There are a cloud of witnesses all around me, and I can feel my passion rise, my enthusiasm get restored again. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 6 in the Old Testament about the prophet Elisha and his servant. And the Aramean army are surrounding the city of Dothan, where Elisha is, ready to attack and defeat Israel. And when the servant gets up in the morning, he sees this army, this vast army surrounding the city. And he goes to Elisha and he says, "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" His passion for the fight has gone. His passion for victory has drained away. He can't see a way forward. But Elisha says to him, 2 Kings 6 verse 17, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all round Elisha. See, he saw that he was connected, that those who were for God were greater than those who were against him, that the good guys outnumbered the bad guys. The cavalry had come over the hill. You're not alone. You're part of the body. Stay connected. Stay plugged in. Stay passionate. There's one body, and when you stay connected, you'll stay passionate. Perhaps you can join Paul in this prayer, in prison, isolated and alone. "I have never stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I'm stronger than I think I am. People are praying for me, giving God thanks for me. It doesn't have to stay dark. Switch the light on. I can see clearly now. I'm not alone." Perhaps that one thing is enough for you to restore your enthusiasm and passion today, that you are connected to the body. Secondly, stay filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Stay filled. Stay complete, stay crammed, stay chocker with the one Spirit. Paul in Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." The Greek sense is to go on being filled, because Paul knew that all of us leak. So go on being filled with the Spirit. Not only are we connected with one another, but we can be filled to capacity with the greatest gift of God towards us. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, filling us with the presence and power of God, so that you may know him better, verse 17 of Ephesians 1 says. So that you might have the light switched on. This isn't just about more information about something. This is about knowledge from first-hand experience, first-hand relationship, contact knowledge. You've encountered first-hand what it is you now know, to know him better. It's the difference between reading a book about Niagara Falls and actually going there, putting on that plastic poncho, getting on the boat and heading for the waterfall, hearing the roar of the water, feeling the water droplets on your face. That's how you know about Niagara Falls. You can read about it in a book, but you only know about it when you've been there. So to keep our passion, especially during this time, we need to stay filled with the Spirit so that we can know Jesus better. You know, in the life of King David in the Old Testament, we see the difference it makes to know God better. You probably know when David was a shepherd boy, he went out to fight this giant Goliath, and he went out to fight Goliath declaring, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Now there's faith, isn't there? He couldn't say that or do what he did next without being filled with God's Spirit and knowing God so much that he was unafraid. His passion and enthusiasm overflowed. But when he was king, there was a time when he stayed at home. The Bible says he stayed at home when kings usually go into battle, but he chose not to. He stayed at home, he walked alone on his rooftop, and his eyes saw his neighbour's wife and took his eyes away from God. You can read about that in 2 Samuel 11. There was a time when David got to know God better every day, when he trusted God every day, when he walked with God every day, when he worshipped God every day, but there was also a day when he forgot, or he just stopped doing it. He got unplugged, disconnected. He lost his entheos. His passion drained away. He leaked the presence and power of God, and his life took a wrong turn. No wonder he wrote in Psalm 51 verse 12, "God, restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Fill me up again. Cram me to capacity and to overflowing with your love and your power and your presence." See, it's just too easy to lose the spark, or the zeal, the fervour, the joy of the Spirit filling you. And David ran into battle, trusting God completely, and then he wandered aimlessly around his roof, satisfying his own desires. How does that happen? Well, it happens when we take our eyes from our calling and put it onto our comfort. I'm guessing there's been a time when you've been working on your laptop thinking it was plugged in the mains, when all of a sudden it switches off. You realise the battery's run out. You forgot to switch it on. When we run out of fuel or energy, we've forgotten to plug into the source of life, and we've been running on our own power source instead of running on the Spirit. Be filled. Go on being filled. Without the Spirit, our love for God will drift away. Our love for others will drain away. There is one Spirit. Are you charging into spiritual battle, or are you becoming complacent? Are you bored, spiritually disengaged? Paul says, get to know God better, and to do that, be filled with the Spirit of revelation, so we can see again. Without the Spirit, the breath of God, there is no life. One body needs one Spirit, so be filled, stay alive, remain passionate. And I think that leads us nicely into the third point today. The one body needs the one Spirit, which leads us to the one hope. Stay committed to the one hope. Paul writes, Ephesians 4:4, "Just as you were called to one hope when you were called." Verse 18 of Ephesians 1, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believed. When our eyes are enlightened, when the light was turned on, we knew this hope. And Paul says, its riches, its inheritance, its incomparable power, the same power that breathed life into Jesus' body on the resurrection day, and its future assurance, they're guaranteed. Stay committed to this one hope. Your faith journey started with hope. Passion, commitment, dedication, determination. Hope is the expectation of what is sure. It's enough to inspire us, to energize us, to enable us every day to keep our enthusiasm, to enable us to finish what God has started on us. You know, I think there's two types of people in this world. There are people who, when they get home, they switch all the lights on. Their house becomes Blackpool Illuminations. And then there are other people in the world who go around switching the lights off behind the person who switched them on. Don't know which one you are. I know which one I am. Of course, those of us who are switcher offers have more bruises than those who switch lights on. Because those who switch lights off are confident they know the layout of every room in the house, and they feel around the furniture that has always been in that place until they realise someone has moved a piece of furniture and bang, you're in it and you're bruised. And you think some words and perhaps you utter them, and then you seek forgiveness immediately. Well, hope is switching the lights on. Even in the darkest night, we have hope. Even in the toughest circumstance, we have hope. At our deepest need, hope enlightens our minds to what we know about Jesus. It helps us find the way. It stops the bruises. Jesus, who opened eyes, who illuminated minds, who brought hope when all was lost, who brought life when it seemed there was only death. Jesus, the light of the world, lighting up what is already there, our hope and a future. Remember the hope you had when you were first called. There is one hope, forgiveness, freedom, life in all its fullness. Let Jesus shine a light on it, even if the moment is at its darkest, uncertain and unsure, let this hope illuminate the truth that is Jesus and all that he brings. One body, stay connected to it. One spirit, stay filled with it. One hope, stay committed to it. You know, this letter to the church in Ephesus is full of that hope. But in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we've got a letter to the church in Ephesus from the risen Jesus. Revelation chapter 2. And in this letter, the risen Jesus says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You've forsaken the love you had at first. You started so well. You were enthusiastic, passionate, connected to one another, filled with the Spirit, committed to this one hope. You could see everything, but somebody turned the lights off. In fact, that someone was you, he says. Because you didn't lose this. You left it. You forsook it. You stopped doing what you did at first. Passion is not a product of your environment, what is around you, what's happening around us. It's a posture of the heart. It's a decision to make. And Jesus has given us the church, his one body. He has given us this one spirit. He has given us this one hope. So stay connected. Stay filled, stay committed to it. And this one passion, you will be filled and overflowing with enthusiasm for him. Switch the light on today. See Jesus, light of the world. Jesus, shine on me. Let's pray together. Perhaps you've lost your passion or enthusiasm. Father, would you help us reconnect to your body, the church, to walk with you every day, to do what we did at first, not out of duty, but out of delight. This morning we make this prayer, come Holy Spirit, fill us again, I pray. We're available for you to come. And today we recommit to live with the confidence of hope for today and for the future. These times have been tough, but we're not going to let what is happening around us diminish the promises of God, which are all yes because of Jesus. In his death and his resurrection, we can find confidence in the circumstances we live in because you are with us. We live with that hope today and every day. And that even though our circumstances may not change, thank you that you never change. And we pray that you will bless us and fill us again. We walk with you, Jesus. Fill us with passion for your name, enthusiasm for your cause. Father, I pray for anyone today who has switched on, just uncertain of their faith, unsure of it, ready to let it all go. I pray that you will fill them again and you'll show them, Jesus, that you are light of the world, that you'll lead them forward today and each day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. If we can help in any way on your journey of faith, please do get in touch, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. Whether you're making a commitment for the first time or whether you just want us to pray for you as you continue this journey, please do let us know and we'd love to walk with you.